I do without you?
Okay, that is the right title. Slide up there this morning. God has blessed us and released that. It's a different week this week. Felt like I was writing a sermon prophetically. You'll soon understand. The stroller and the savior. The stroller and the savior. Isaiah 43. I started thinking about today, last year. Mother's Day 2023 crossed my mind in June of 22. We were at a zoo, and I saw a mom with a stroller wagon. It was, she had three kids in it. Because I've never met a stranger, I asked her, I said, do you like a stroller? And she went on to express the miraculous nature of this stroller. She called it the miracle stroller. Sarah saw it, and she liked it. We knew we were going to have a third kid, so, I thought, well, Mother's Day, 23. Easy, I'll just kick my shoes back, kick my shoes off, sit back, relax for the next 10 months. I have a thing to worry about. Until a couple weeks ago, when Sarah said, I don't want that stroller anymore. We'll manage with what we have. Crap. Talk about the 11th hour. Lily, what do you think we should do for Mom for Mother's Day? Let's make her favorite banana bread in a heart. Lily, I'm your dad, right? Let's make her, okay. All right. You bakers in the family, you probably already have ideas, okay? But let me tell you what I did. I cried. I said, help, Google, help. And I found instructions to make a banana bread that had a heart-shaped center. Then I cried again. And I said, help, Mom, help. Pull me out of the fire one more time. So we made a small banana bread, and we cut out shapes and put it together and made a big banana bread around a small banana bread. We had to kick Sarah out of the house for a few hours to get that done, but there it is.
Wow.
We had banana bread with a heart in the middle. That was pretty cool. Now, what I did was keep Ephraim out of the way. Mom and Lily pretty much did the rest. But we did. But back to the stroller. The stroller in the Savior, not the banana bread in the Savior. Back to the stroller. Here it is. The miracle stroller. Sarah had talked about this for months, so I knew that she liked it. And then just one day, out of the blue, not anymore. Now, I've learned something about being married that you guys have probably all figured out already. And that is that if you make what is important to your wife important to you, you will make your wife very happy. And this is a biblical principle, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And consequently, you may rejoice in the Lord because loving your wife, which God has commanded, Colossians 3:19, right? And you loving your wife is being obedient to God, and Hebrews 11:6 says that obedience is pleasing to God, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And hasn't God already commanded this attitude and his children, which was already in Christ, then we ought to consider others more substantial than ourselves. So, mommy's happy because daddy loves her, and the kids are obeying her for the most part, right? Or maybe not. Daddy's happy because everyone's glorifying God. And God's happy. So we're just one big happy family now. Because Sarah didn't want this stroller. That was really convenient for her. She didn't want it. But for the past few weeks, she's been noticing these flower trees. Have you seen them? Okay, I usually, they're very pretty. You see the pink ones and the white ones. And she's been wanting these flower trees. The problem is, we live in the woods. We have lots of trees. Most of them I want to cut down because our woods are crowded. And I want the trees that are there to be able to grow and thrive and be good, healthy trees. And beside that, I don't have a green thumb. I'm not what you would call a natural arborist by any stretch of the imagination. And then we were at a first birthday party, and they had one of these pink flower trees in their backyard, and we were sitting right under it. When he told me, they only bloom for about a month. And that month is usually, you know, April. And when there's storms, because there's storms in April, when there's storms and when there's wind, all the petals fall off. And if the petals fall off the tree, it means they're no longer on the tree, but they're somewhere, and they're probably on the lawn. Now, I like my lawn. I like my yard. I like it to look really nice. But remember, make what's important to her important to you. So, we took Sarah shopping for a tree yesterday. Happy. Oh, like I said, when I was writing the sermon, I felt like I was writing prophetically because I knew that was going to happen on Saturday, but I didn't know what was going to happen on Saturday. But that's not to toot my own horn at all. There's a message in this. There's a message in this. That little story that I just told you, in that little story, Sarah represents God. That's not to say that Sarah thinks she's God. Okay? She doesn't. She's humble. And she worried a lot about this sermon for a whole week because I wouldn't tell her what it was about. Spoiled present. She's not that prideful to think she's God. But she represents God. That's the nature of a parable, right? That something earthly represents and communicates a divine truth. Okay, so in this parable, Sarah's God, and the children are Israel. The children are Israel. Now, I'm a few years behind in this, but when Sarah was cleaning out my office, she's tidying things up a little bit, decluttering and so on. She was doing that last week. We came across a course that my grandpa used to teach, John Roseman's Managerial Parent. I don't know if maybe some of you have taken the course or seen it or know it. When Grandpa was teaching the course, I wasn't a parent, which always reminds me of this stupid dad joke. Do you guys know it? When a dad joke becomes a dad joke, it's a parent. But I wasn't a parent. I wasn't married. I wasn't considering having children or anything like that. So I didn't take the class. So like I said, I'm a few years late to this party because Lily's 5 now. And her twos weren't terrible, but if I started, you know, researching and studying this kind of stuff 3 or 4 years ago, maybe Ephraim's twos wouldn't be so terrible. Because I just started reading Parenting by the Book last week. And in the introduction, Roseman describes a couple who has had more trouble in 4 years with 2 kids, as her mom had in all the years she raised 10. Okay, so more trouble with two kids in 4 years than her mom had in all the years she reared 10 kids. Now, if those kids are a year apart, that's 28 years of child rearing. Okay? Now, parents who have raised their children in the 40s and 50s and decades beyond, before that, will tell you that it was something that they did. Along with all of their other adult responsibilities, because, you know, they were also a son or a daughter or a sibling, a spouse, an employee, a member of this club or maybe that organization, a functioning member of their church, and, oh, by the way, we also raised our kids. Now, that's a lot different from what today's parents will say. They'll describe their day-to-day activities, and especially moms, as over-consuming, over-exasperating, over-exhausting. Now, that parable would break down. Because God can't be over-consumed, exhausted, or exasperated, right? But thank God that's not the point. Otherwise, that would be a very terrible parable. The point is this. Moms want their kids to love them, right? And they strive for their best interests. But their kids are self-centered and self-willed, and they strive for what they think their best interests are. Let me show you where I'm going here. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah. Isaiah preaches against Israel's sin, and he predicts the impending judgment in the captivities. Then, there's 27 chapters after that where Isaiah is preaching peace and comfort to indicate future Israel's nature in the church. Okay? So, Isaiah rebukes Israel's sinfulness, and then he strengthens her resolve. So, it's correction first, and then comfort. It's help, and then hope. Now, incidentally, the first 39 books of the Bible, which we call the Old Testament, as we have them, preach the reality of our sin and the futility of the law to save us. Then the next 27 books preach the peace that we may have in Jesus and the salvation we have by his grace. Now, the parallel between the categorical division of Isaiah's book of prophecies and the covenantal division of God's redemptive revelation, it may be entirely coincidental, or it may be that God had his finger in preserving and arranging his living word for his purpose in our lives in our day. It may be coincidental, and then again, it may be providential. But take that as you will. It is what it is. I want to get back to this stroller. Lily and Ephraim, and especially Warren, do not understand the purpose of Mother's Day. To especially express their warm regard for and interest in their mom. Okay, now I emphasize especially to emphasize that they ought to love their mom every day. Right? We ought to love our moms every day. But on Mother's Day, we express our love emphatically. Think about Israel and the Jewish Passover. Think about the Jewish Passover, right? God delivers Israel out of Egypt, and then he commands this feast of unleavened bread, okay? so that they would worship, praise, and be thankful for that salvation. Does that mean that Israel is only to express gratitude for that deliverance on the 14th day of the first month and then the following week? Of course not. Of course not. God gave Israel Canaan. He gave them Canaan and he blessed them abundantly. Cities, they didn't build them. Houses full of good things that they didn't put there. Wells that they didn't dig. Vineyards, plants, fields that they didn't plant. He gave them all those things abundantly. Why? So that they would always remember that he brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, Christ's sacrifice is so important that he instituted a very simple but so profound a feast by which the church is to recall the price Christ paid for her ransom. The Lord's Supper. The church in Acts set aside a special day. The Lord instituted that supper on a Thursday evening. But the church in Acts set aside a special day. A special day, the day of the week on which Christ rose from the dead. Sunday. The Lord's Day. Let that sink in a minute. The Lord's Day. Do you know what Sunday's become? It's become the best day for a nap. The best day for football. Best day to go out to eat. The church in Acts designated Sunday for the Lord. For the Lord. And they came together every Lord's Day to partake of that feast that the Lord instituted so that they would never forget that he brought us out of slavery, out of the bondage of sin. Back to this stroller. We're going to finish this stroller story up. I know you guys are all on the edge of your seats. I know she drives the truck. Was it in the back of the truck? Did he get her the stroller? I was excited to get Sarah the stroller. I mean, I was excited. She wanted it. The kids, they were eager to get her this stroller. I imagine their excitement was a little bit different than mine. I wanted to get her this stroller because it would really make her happy. She wanted it. I wanted her to have it because she wanted it. And it would make her life easier. The kids... Now, imagine the scene, right? On Sunday morning, you know, probably Saturday night. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday because I'm usually up early and I'm out the door. But they bring her the present, the box, right? It's got the heart wrapping paper. We love you, Mom. Open it, Mom. She opens it. Oh, it's the stroller I've always wanted, the miracle stroller. Put it together, Dad. Put it together. Okay, Dad puts it together. It's together, Mom. Can we go for a ride? Can we go for a ride? Let's go for a ride. Can you take us? What if we told them no? See, they were, at least in part, excited to get her this stroller because they'd have a new stroller to ride around in. And that'd be really cool for a while. And then the novelty would wear off and, you know, it'd just be the stroller. Stroller. So when I told them that we weren't going to get Mom the stroller for Mother's Day, They were sad. You're kidding me. You didn't get her the stroller? Or did I? Instead, we'd take her shopping for that tree that would make Daddy's yard a mess. Small price to pay. Let me tell you what Christ did. Israel loved God. But Israel loved God insofar as it benefited her. See, as long as they were on top of the world, you know, they had a nice, easy go of it. They were faithful to God. But when times get hard, they backslid. And they forsook the Lord their God, and God became Baal, and Baal became God. They became worse than the pagan nations that were around them. Jesus loved the Father. Jesus loved the Father selflessly to glorify Him in everything He did. Therefore, He became God's servant. He became a man. He became obedient to the Father to the point of dying the most despicable death a person could die there, crucifixion. And in doing so, He gave the Father what He wanted the most. Christ paved the way for the object of God's love for you and for me. Christ paved the way for us to be restored to friendly fellowship with the Holy One of Israel. And it came at great cost. Isaiah prophesies, He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him as stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 43 begins, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, supplanter, He who formed you, O Israel, God will rule." Notice that transition from Jacob to Israel. From the one who deceives to the one who is ruled by God. "But now thus says the Lord, O Jacob, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." What name does God call the redeemed by? Read on. "You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life." Stronger than the Savior. You see, the kids needed Dad to give Mom what she needed to do. Kids need a dad to give mom what she needed. Dad knew what she wanted. Kids did. Sure, they had eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts with which to understand, but they didn't see, they didn't hear, they didn't understand. Dad did. He knew what they wanted. Dad knew how to get it. The kids didn't. Dad could follow through and do what needed to be done. Kids couldn't. They couldn't even pay the price. Dad couldn't. You know, my notes here. In bold letters, it says, "Humble yourself before the Lord." You see the point? We needed Christ to come and do what we could not do for ourselves. We needed Him to fulfill the law and the prophets. We needed Him to do the will of God on earth, in the flesh, tempted in every way in which we are. We needed Christ to willingly offer His innocent life, having never sinned, as atonement for our sins. But we had no right, we had no basis on which to ask Christ to give such a gift. No basis. So the Father, knowing His Son loved Him, sent His Son to offer grace and eternal life to the world. That's the reason for Isaiah 43. God is calling Israel to be what He intends her to be, redeemed. God is calling the church to be what He intends her to be, redeemed. God is calling sinners to be what He intends them to be, redeemed. God is calling you to be called by the name that He calls the redeemed. You are mine. Israel had to pass through captivity so that all of her unholy parts would be cleansed and then would emerge a faithful remnant through whom the Messiah would come and save them. Would redeem them. But He wouldn't just redeem Israel. The world. The world. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, came to save the world and redeem God's fallen creatures so that we might glorify the Father as He did, as bond servants, humbly and heartily serving Him everything that we do. Honoring our mothers falls in the category of everything we do. Therefore, glorify God in remembering and celebrating your mother. Answer His call to be redeemed. Glorify God in the saving of one more sinner, or the repentance and the obedience of one of the redeemed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Mother's Day, because He first loved us, and we ought to regard and be interested in. our hymn of invitation this morning.